Numbers chapter number 10. Numbers chapter number 10. It's good to see you here this morning. I know that as I look out, I see and have heard that many of those that fellowship here at Sharon Baptist Church are not feeling well today. Some are sick and some are just maybe not sick, but they're worried about passing what they have on to everybody else. So we appreciate them staying home. Don't forget that you can send your tithe in through tithely.com. Amen. And so I'm only kidding, of course. Well, not really, but you know how it is. Amen. People don't come, they don't give. Amen. So praise the Lord. So we do pray for those that are sick, and we do want to continue to pray for Brother John, our music leader here at Sharon Baptist Church. His sister passed away and he's home. The funeral is going on even now as we speak, so you pray for them and Jonathan, his son, and the daughter as well, as they grieve the loss of their auntie and his sister. But we can rejoice in this fact that she is in a better place right now, amen. And she's at home with her Heavenly Father, no doubt rejoicing around the throne of grace. So we ask that you pray for them, pray for their safety as they make their way back from New York, back tomorrow probably, my guess would be, and then for others that have been sick and just not feeling well as well. Unless we forget, there are some people that have to work occasionally on Sundays, and we want to pray for them and keep them in our prayers as well. We particularly want to think about those that are in our military or that work for our military corporation that works for the military, and they're forced to work on Sundays. And I think of our early responders, our first responders, and those who were in the fire department, the EMS, and those police as well, that we'll continue to remember them. Well, let's look here in Numbers chapter number 10. Numbers chapter number 10. We're going to read a couple of verses, and beginning of verse 29 in just a moment or two. Today we're going to begin a new series that I've entitled The People of the Bible. Prior to my son coming and preaching last week, we finished up with a series that I've entitled In the Beginning. And now periodically through the year, it's not going to be every week, but probably a lot of the weeks, we are going to look at this thought of a people of the Bible. And in this series, if you'll come to understand, there's a lot to be said and a lot to be learned studying the character of the people that are in the Bible. Now think about this. Some of the characters that we're going to study are going to be, we consider good characters. But you know what? We're also going to study some people that you may look at and say, oh, he wasn't so good and didn't do a great amount for the Lord. So whether we study somebody who did something great for God or somebody who maybe ran from God and got it right or maybe didn't get it right at all, those are lessons for all of us. And I think as we explore the scripture, this year, I think looking at the people of the Bible would be a great help and a blessing to us as we set these people in the context of the books of the Bible. And then later on, sometime very soon, we're also going to be looking at the great text of the Bible, passages of Scripture that just jump out to us, and perhaps they're your favorite passages. Perhaps there's some that you have never really thought about very much, and we just call them the great texts of the Bible. So throughout this year, we'll be looking at those two series, along with whatever else the Lord has for us, and of course, the regular holidays and special days of the local New Testament church. So today, we're going to begin this series. I've entitled The People of the Bible. Today we're going to look at a man by the name of Hobab, and he was the man who seemingly turned down a good invitation. And we find today this man here is the man, his name is Hobab, and he was offered a great invitation, and seemingly he said no. So let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. We'll begin reading here in Numbers 10, verses 29 down through verse number 30 for the sake of time. And the Bible said, "And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are on a journey unto the place at which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred." Father, we bow our hearts and our knee before you this morning. Oh God, I need your help this morning. I need you to touch my body, Father. Be a help to my voice, Father. I pray, Lord, that you'll just give me the physical strength. Lord, I pray you'll give me the mental alertness and the empowerment from on high to preach your word. Oh Father, as we learn about this man who's only mentioned a few times in the Bible, Hobab, Father, I think there's some lessons for you and I, Father. And if we're here today and we find ourselves as Hobab, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to understand, Father, Father. They need to come with us, Father, on this journey to eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. And then, Father, if those that are here, Father, and already have made preparation for this journey, oh, Father, would you help them to understand that we have friends and family and loved ones and co-workers and neighbors, Father, who we need to cry out and say, come with us, Father, as we make this great journey to you. So, Lord, I pray now that you would bless the preaching and teaching of your word. Father, be with those that can't be here today, Father. We pray for those that are listening and watching by the way of live stream and those in the nursery and those in the junior churches, Father. Be a help to them. We are so thankful for their ministry and their calling to work with the young people so we could be able to sit in here today, Father, and hear the preaching of thy word. So, Father, we love you. We thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, we learn here in Numbers chapter number 10 and verse number 29 that Hobab was the brother-in-law of Moses. And the Bible says, and Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. Understand this morning that Raguel was also known by the name of Jethro. And I know what you're thinking already. You're saying, wait a minute, preacher. The Bible said it was his father-in-law, not his brother-in-law. Well, that's a good point, and I'm glad you're thinking that and brought that up. That Hebrew word that's translated in our King James Bible for father-in-law is simply a word that means any relation by marriage. So we look at it and we would say, father-in-law, okay, I can understand that, or brother-in-law, I can understand that. But in the Hebrew language, it just means any relation by marriage. So we find that Moses had married Zipporah, and Zipporah was the sister of Hobab. And Exodus 21 and 2 in verse number 21, the Bible says, and Moses was content to dwell with the man, that's Jethro or Raguel, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. In our text, we find that Moses made his brother-in-law Hobab an offer he seemingly rejected. So I want to talk about and preach about that offer that he made. Notice, first of all, this morning, we find a special reunion. There's a special reunion. The story finds Hobab visiting Zipporah and his brother-in-law, of course, which was Moses. It was a time of great reunion. No doubt there was hugs, and no doubt there was kisses. I like to think there was laughter, and there was love, and there was evidence everywhere. And as they came to visit, love and laughter was evident there in that household. The reunion, you see, was a very special time. You may be asking, why was it so special, Pastor Dave? What made this reunion so very special? It was special, first of all, because there was a time that was behind them, a time that was behind them. You see, it's been at least 2 years since they have seen each other. In Numbers chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible said, the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. So you and I can really understand just how special this reunion was. It's been about 2 years since they're able to get with him and see each other, and they haven't seen each other for such a very long time. So no doubt this time of reunion was a very sweet and a very special time for this family. Maybe you can understand this as well. Diana and I having children and grandchildren and siblings, and also my mother who lives several hours away, over 5 hours away from where we are here. I know how special it is when the family is able to get together. And no doubt this was a very special time, and it was the time that was behind them. I'm sure you can say the same thing about yourself when you visit your distant relatives. What a great time that you have. But there was also, this was also a special reunion because of something else. And it was the trip that was before them. The trip that was before them. You see, Moses and his clan was getting ready for a trip. He was packing up and getting ready to move any day, getting ready to leave where they were at. And notice what he said to Hobab in verse number 29. He used these words. He says, we are journeying. And he said that they're about ready to pull up, about ready to pick up their tent stakes and hit the road and go wherever God would lead them to do so. We're getting ready to hit the road, to take a journey, is what he told them. As I thought about that, I understood that they're headed to the land of Canaan, which God had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to all their prosperity. Just think how special this reunion was. They haven't seen each other for 2 years. They're getting ready to leave, and there's no doubt they're not going to see each other for many, many years to come. We have a brother and a sister that haven't seen each other again for a very long time. And the fact that the sister now is moving away makes this even a more special reunion. We'll not only notice that after this special reunion, we find that there comes a specific request. A specific request. In light of the move they were about to make, we find that Moses makes a specific request to Hobab. First of all, there was the destination that Moses explained. Look at verse 29. Moses tells Hobab that their destination, he said this, "We are journeying unto the place which the Lord said, I will give it unto you." That place was none other than Canaan. It was the promised land. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a country that God had given to him, to his children, the redeemed people of the nation of Israel. You see, God had promised Abraham a place where his people would live and they would dwell for all eternity. And when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, God not only was bringing them out of the place of bondage, but is also leading them to a place of blessing, and that place is none other than Canaan. It was this place of blessing that Moses was inviting his brother-in-law, Hobab, to journey with him about. You know, of all these days, of all God's people are going to take a journey. We're going to take a journey someday. Whether you believe it or not, we're going to take a journey. And this is the place that God has prepared for all those that have trusted in Him and loved Him. Excuse me, in Philippians 3 and verse 20, the Bible says this, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That word conversation literally translates this. It's our citizenship. So we find, excuse me, Paul was writing and said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And those who are saved are citizens of another country. We have a heavenly country, amen. Thank God for that. Every saved person can sing that wonderful song that I love to sing. It's entitled, "I'm Bound for the Promised Land." It goes something like this. "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie." I guess when I hear that verse and read that verse and mention it to you, I have to ask myself this question, where do your possessions lie? Do they lie in Canaan land or do they lie in the world land? And that's a choice that only you can make. But glory to God, all those who are saved are bound for the promised land. And we're headed home to heaven if we have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And just like Moses, I believe our move is getting closer and closer and closer. I tell you what, I'm looking for the shout. I'm looking for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm telling you this morning that I'm looking for the shout. The truth of the matter is, I really do hate to move. I don't know too many people that like to move, but once you get to where you're at, you know, you might like it, but nobody likes the moving process. When I was in the United States Air Force, Diana and I moved 12 times in 14 years. Listen, we learn to be good movers, but we learn to hate to move, amen? Excuse me, since Don and I have been here in Hampton, Virginia, we've moved 3 times in the last 6 years. Listen, we got this thing of moving down, but still we hate the process of moving. But praise God, on that move to heaven, I don't have to move anything. I don't take anything with me. And that's one move, realistic, that I'm looking forward to. And I hope it comes, amen. Just right after the invitation, He'll come and take us home. Well, Moses not only has leaving on his mind, but then notice something else. He was also thinking about other people as well. Notice the desire Moses expressed. Notice what he said to Hobab in verse number 29. He said, "Come thou with us." So Moses says to his brother-in-law, Hobab, I got a great idea. Why don't you just come with us to this place that God has given us? He wants his brother-in-law to go to Canaan with him. He wants his brother-in-law to go to the promised land with him. And you can think what you want, but I believe really what Moses is doing here, and we'll verify in just a few minutes, that Moses was doing a little bit of soul winning right here to his brother-in-law, Hobab, that was a Midianite. He is not only trying to get his brother-in-law to go with him to Canaan, but he's trying to get his brother-in-law to join him in the people of God and trusting in what God was going to do for them. When I think about heaven and I really think about how glorious it's going to be and how that one day that I will get to live in heaven, I get those Holy Ghost bumps on the back of my neck. And I'm not only glad that I'm going, but understand this, I want my loved ones, I want my friends, I want my acquaintances, I want you to go with me. And when I get to heaven, I don't only want to be by myself in heaven, I want my family to be in heaven. I'm selfish in that way. I want everyone to be able to go with me to heaven. I want all my loved ones to be with me in the place that the Bible said God has been preparing for me. I read a story about an old man that cared for his dying wife. And he sat beside her bedside day after day and did all that he could to make his dear wife comfortable. Her mind was beginning to go, and at times she would say things that literally made no sense to him. One day she looked at her husband and asked, John, it's getting late. Aren't you coming to bed with me? He started to tell her, honey, it's in the middle of the day. But he stopped and he simply said, yes, honey, I will be coming to bed in just a few moments. And then she asked this question that every wife asks, are the windows all shut and the doors all locked? Yes, honey, he replied, the windows are shut and the doors are all locked. She continued on, all the windows are shut and all the doors are locked. Have you turned off all the lights as well? Yes, honey, he says, all the lights are turned off. And then with these last words, before she drifted off to sleep, she asked this question, are all the children in? So I ask you this morning, are all the children in? Do you have unsaved loved ones? Are your mother and your dad, your brother and your sisters, your co-workers and other family members, are they all in for this trip as you say, come with me and see what God has for us? Moses wanted his brother-in-law to go with him to Canaan. Moses presented Hobab with an offer. In verse number 29, look at the words, come thou with us and we will do thee good. Moses was inviting Hobab to go along with them to Canaan. He was telling him that he would not regret it. He wouldn't be sorry for that decision if he would just make a choice to come with them. He was telling him that there would be more blessings coming their way if he would just come with them. You see, Moses presented his brother-in-law not only with an offer, but also an opportunity in verse number 31. Notice what he says. In verse 31, he said, thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And I thought about that. What in the world does he mean by that? Thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. Well, that phrase is a proverbial expression that's still used in the East today. And it means that Hobab would show them the spots where they could feed their flocks, they could get fuel for their cooking, their pasture might be found, warn them of any impending weather dangers and point out the places that were infested by the robbers. So in other words, Moses was simply telling this, Hobab, if you'll come with us, you could be used to become a part of what God is doing here in the nation of Israel. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Have you ever spoken to your loved one about going to heaven with you someday? I mean, really, sat down and poured your heart out to them and shared with them where you're going and inviting them to come to be with you as well. You know, we can tell our loved ones about the place that God has for us. And we can point about and talk about heaven. We can talk about the city of New Jerusalem. We can tell them about all the wonderful things that are going to be there, all the bad things that will not be there. We can tell them about the blessings that can be theirs if they'll go with us. We can tell them they become a part of God's wonderful plan for mankind. But guess what? We can tell them and offer them all these great things, but we can't make them go with us. I wonder, how did Hobab respond to this wonderful invitation? Well, as we think about that, we see not only was there a special reunion, a specific request, but notice lastly we find there was a seemingly sad rejection. The story would be great if Hobab would have said, yes, okay, Moses, I'm going to go. I'm excited with you. I'm going to go and be where God would have us to be, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to be there, and I'm excited about this thing. But notice in verse number 30 what the text says. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to mine own kindred. Hobab seemingly turned down the invitation that Moses gave him. Now put yourself kind of in this picture. How many times have you said, come, go with me. Man, heaven is real. Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the life. And no man can come to the Father but by him. And you laid out the plan of salvation and you said, come with me. But yet they stand and say, no, it's not for me. It might be for you, but it's not for me. Or they might say, it's not today, but someday I'll trust in Christ as my Savior. But today is not that day. Imagine the feeling that you get when your loved one turns down all the blessings that God has for them, all the victory over sin in their life they can have if they'll just put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so we find that Hobab seemingly turned down this invitation that Moses had invited him to come with the nation of Israel. And notice in verse number 31, he begins to plead with him in verse number 31. And the Bible says, look at verse 31. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of our eyes. Again, he's appealing to his vanity and his pride. He said, listen, we need you. We need you to be a part of us. He said, don't leave us. And I think that at times of funerals and times of sorrow when our loved ones pass on, we ought to cry this passage out and say, don't leave us. If you're here today and not have trusted in Christ as your Savior, we desire you to come with us on this great journey to the promised land that God's provided for you and I. Well, in spite of the pleading, it really would seem that Hobab had his mind made up, and he turned down the offer of Moses. And I thought about that. If Hobab did reject this offer, what would this rejection mean? Well, I think it means three things. First of all, it means this. It means not only did he reject this offer, but notice the rejection of the God of Israel. He rejected the God of Israel. You see, when Hobab said that he'd return to his own land and his own kindred, he was rejecting the faith of Moses and the faith of the nation of Israel. Verse 29, the Bible tells us, if you look there, that Hobab was a Midianite. And Midian was one of the five sons, if you remember, of Abraham and Keturah back in Genesis 25 in verses 1 through 2. And if you go back there and look, you would see that every one of those sons of those offsprings went off into idolatry. And from other scriptures, we learn that Hobab's father, Raguel, also called Jethro, was a priest of Midian. So he had no doubt been raised in idolatry and paganism of the Midianites. And since his father was a priest, and since most of the titles and the offices were passed down to generation upon generation, he probably was a Midianite priest or soon would become a Midianite priest. So maybe that begins to put things in a little bit different perspective for you and I. So when Hobab said that he is going to go back to his land and back to his kindred, he really was saying this. He was going back to the religion and the gods of his people, the Midianites. And to go with Moses would be to follow the God of Israel. But to go back was to return to his old life. So Hobab really was doing more than just saying no to Moses. He was saying no to a God that loved him and created him. Think about this. Service after service, Sunday after Sunday, people are invited here at Charon Baptist Church to go to heaven. And time after time, we watch people turn it down and as we invite them to come with us to heaven. I want you to understand that they were doing more than just refusing an offer. They were in reality saying no to God. They were rejecting God's offer of eternal life. And God wants to save everybody. God wants to save anybody. Every church that honors Him, every preacher that declares Him, every Christian that shares Him, He extends His offer to come thou with me. Though every expression of our faith is saying, come and go to heaven one day. When that invitation is refused, when your family, friends, and loved ones reject that invitation, it's not a rejection of you. It's a rejection of God's offer of salvation, eternal life, by faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. Think about Hobab as a priest of Midian. He was very important among the Midianites. If he wasn't a priest yet, he would become a priest, and he had a high and important part in the land of the Midianites, and he could enjoy all the wealth and all the privileges and all the position that being a priest in Midian would have afforded him. And as the Midianite priest, he would be second only to the king of that great land. And that position would bring him great riches and great power. And just maybe he said no because of the lure of possessions, the lure of all the pleasures, the lure of all the power. Whatever his reason was for rejecting Moses and rejecting God, understand this, that Hobab seemingly rejected the offer to go to Canaan. But then noticed something else this morning. Secondly, notice the retribution by the God of Israel. The retribution by the God of Israel. And the history of the Midianites has a very, very tragic ending. We read in Numbers chapter number 31 that their sins were so horrible that God cannot tolerate their existence any longer. And this passage reveals a great slaughter of only which the virgins were the only ones who were not put to death. Now, I can't help but wonder this. I wonder if Hobab was among those that got slaughtered there in Numbers 31. Was he part of the nation that experienced the wrath of a holy and mighty and just God? Boy, the retribution of the God of Israel. But then notice lastly, and then we'll be done. Notice the reception of the God of Israel. You know, Paul Harvey was a great radio commentator. And I can remember even when I was early in the United States Air Force, and I would love to turn my radio on at lunchtime. Nowadays, people listen to Rush Limbaugh, but back in the old days, they would listen to Paul Harvey. He used to have a radio program called The Rest of the Story. And basically, he would tell you something up front, and now he'd say, and now the rest of the story. And he put a twist on the story. So now, I want to tell you the rest of the story. And this story, if this story ended right now, it would be a very sad ending. We'd find that Hobab died, and Midianites all died, and because Hobab was invited not only to go to Canaan with Moses, but in a greater sense to receive the God of Israel as his God, and seemingly he rejected that offer, but there is the rest of the story. You see, as we study God's Word, we define this out, that at some point, Hobab ultimately decided to go with Moses and receive the God of Israel. In Judges 4, in verse number 11, the Bible says, now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent unto the plain of Zeraim, which is Kadesh. And then in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 6, the Bible says, and Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye show kindness to all the children of Israel. And when they came up out of Egypt, so the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Adam Clark, a great Bible commentator, says this about that verse. He said it's likely that Hobab changed his mind, or that if he did go back to Midian, at some point he returned back and met up with the nation of Israel, as the above scriptures show that his posterity dwelt among the Israelites in God's Canaan land. So think about it for just a moment. Although at first it would seem that Hobab rejected the invitation to the promised land, to the God of Israel, but at some point we find that he was persuaded to come thou with us. And what I find very interesting in this passage is that Moses ended up leading that assault against the Midianites. Moses was God's instrument to bring about the destruction of the Midianites. Think about this. If Hobab had not changed his mind and went with Moses, what do you think the heart of Moses would have been broken as he saw the great wrath of God come upon the nation of the Midianites? I tell you what, the worst thing that I can ever think of is one of my loved ones dying and going to hell. The thought is just really unbearable to me. I could take a lot of things, and you can take a lot of things as well, but the thought of my loved one burning in hell forever and ever just bothers me. And I shudder to think of someone that I know spending an eternity in hell. The very thought of them dying and going to hell for all eternity drives me to invite them, drives me to plead with them to come thou with me. Boy, those words, come thou with me, that was Moses' rally cry. Let it be ours as well. As we see our lost family and friends and loved ones and co-workers, let us cry out, come thou with me. I'm reminded of a great song that goes something like this. I'm bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. I'm rejoiced that I'm bound for the promised land. I rejoice if you're bound for the promised land. But I want to take everyone with me that I can. I don't want to be there by myself. I want everyone to go. And it saddens my heart, especially the people that I know and love, when they turn down this wonderful invitation to go with me. I wonder this morning as we close, if you would covet with God today to seek the souls of your family and friends and loved ones and all that you come in contact with, and you'll invite them, say these four words, come thou with me. Hobab, the man who seemingly turned down a great invitation. But at some point in time, no doubt through the prayers of Moses and his family, his heart was turned. And he came and joined with the nation of Israel, but more importantly, the God of the nation of Israel. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I've been invited time and time again. Listen, God is a God who oftentimes gives multiple invitations. And in those multiple invitations, understand this, that he loves you so very much. And maybe he's speaking to your heart right now about your need to come with us. Would you repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then if you're here this morning and you're already on the journey to the promised land, you're already on your way to heaven, you already have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ who died as your substitute on that cross of Calvary that you might be saved. Listen, maybe you need to cry out, come thou with me, come thou with us. And you would make a renewed effort to ensure that everyone that you come in contact with, everyone that you work with, every one of your relatives will come thou with you on your journey to heaven. This is the choice only you can make. Sometimes God only puts one person in the path of someone for them to be saved. I might have used this illustration before, and then I'll be done. When I pastored in McConnellsburg, Pennsylvania, there was a man there that I've been trying to reach for a long time with the Lord, for the Lord. His wife would come, and his daughter would come, and it was kind of just a kind of funny situation. He was divorced from a member of our church, and they would all sit on one pew, the X's and the togethers and the togethers and all their kids, and I'm just glad they came to church, but he wasn't saved, and he wasn't saved. Well, one day I had opportunity to go over and speak to this man. I went over and talked to him about his need to be saved. And I said, come thou with us. Why don't you go to heaven with your family? And tears broke in his eyes, and he repented of his sin and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You see, I don't know if that was his last opportunity he had to be saved, but I do know this, he had opportunities before, and he rejected them. And we don't know just how many times that we're going to reject God before God says, that's it, I've done, I've invited as well. Thank God that he came a second time. We're not promised a second time. We're not promised a second time of being convicted. convicted of our sinfulness to be saved. But God oftentimes does that because he's a God of mercy and a God of love. And so, my friends, I submit to you this. As you leave the church doors today, would you go to that one this week that has rejected you? Would you go to that neighbor that's told you time and time again that they don't want to have anything to do with church or Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary, that they're okay? Would you go back to them one more time and simply say this, come thou with us. Father, we thank you, Father, for your word this morning. We thank you, Father, for this passage in Numbers, chapter number 10, Father, in verses 29 and 30, that speaks about a man by the name of Hobab. Oh, Father, at the very first, we find that Hobab was a rejecter of going on this trip with the nation of Israel. He was a rejecter of Israel's God. But at some point, Father, his mind was changed. And no doubt through the prayers of Moses and his immediate family praying that Hobab would turn to the God of Israel. And at some point, Father, he has done that. And Father, even as you used Moses to destroy the Midianites, Father, Moses knew that Hobab was there with them. Oh, Father, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people. Oh, Father, maybe there's some Hobabs that are here today that have come so close and been asked so many times to trust in Christ. But yet, Father, they rejected and they say, no, I'm going to turn to my own people, my own country. God, I pray that this day will be the day where they finally repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then, Father, I pray for your children. Oh, Father, help them not give up on those loved ones and friends and family and co-workers who have rejected their offer to come thou with us. And Father, may they go this week, Father, one more time and say, come thou with us. So Father, bless now this time of invitation. We seek to give you praise, honor, and glory for it all, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand to our feet, please, with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I wonder, has God chosen to speak to your heart this morning? Maybe you're here today and you say, yes, God has put someone's name in front of my face right now, and I'm going to go to him this week. And even though I've been rejected and turned down before, I'm going to go one more time and say, come thou with us. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're like Hobab. You heard the invitation perhaps time and time again, but you reject.